You know your name is there. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a blessing to know. We know because Jesus said, these things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. He said that over in the book of John. Amen. And I bless the Lord that we can know because of what God said. Jesus told his disciples, he said, it's not because the spirits are subject unto you. But the reason you should rejoice, he said, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's the reason to rejoice. Amen. They came back from their ministry, you know, and they were able to cast out devils. Well, he'd give them that power. But, and boy, they was really rejoicing. He said, I'll tell you something you can really rejoice over. Because your name is written in heaven. What a blessing to think about that. Just to think about that. My name is up there where God is in God's book. Amen. He has my name written in the book of life. That's something else right there. Amen. That's something else. There's a lot of books in this world that ain't got my name in it. A lot of reservations is made in some highfalutin places. They don't know my name, but he knows my name.
Amen.
Daniel chapter number 5. Amen. I'm going to read a little and skip on down and try to bring the thought this morning. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the thousands. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. They brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple, out of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now, the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, forasmuch as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. That's as far as I want to read for sake of reading, but I love to listen to the reading of God's word in this chapter. When you see the character of kings and princes and wise men all come to naught, and they find themselves dumbfounded. And then there is a man that knows God.
Amen.
Are you listening? And the knowledge that they absolutely cannot understand is found in him. Now that is, to me, a great rejoicing and a great victory about this man by the name of Daniel. And I just want to preach about Daniel for a little bit this morning, and the character of Daniel. When you think about all that Daniel had gone through, Daniel, he was like Ezekiel. He was a captive in Babylon. He was taken captive out of his land, out of Israel, out of where he had no doubt been born and had started growing up as a young man. It's where his God was. It's where the temple was. And he was brought before King Nebuchadnezzar while he was young. Him and a lot of other young men. And they saw something in him. But his life, if you look at Daniel's life, his life resembled that of Joseph. He was a man that was taken away from his land and made a slave and put in bondage, but he was exalted to the highest position. And that's the way it happened in Joseph's life. In that, their lives are very similar. And, you know, Daniel didn't just get that just because. He had character about him. He had a certain piety about him. Daniel was a peculiar young man. And, I mean, it was just something inside of him that made him what he was. Now, I'll tell you what it was. It was his God.
Yes.
It was the God inside the heart of Daniel that made Daniel the way that he was. And that's the only thing you can explain. Everybody else, listen, when they were brought, many others had conformed to where they were. They were in a new land. They were taken captive, and now they're in a place Some of them may have even been happy. It's like going to a big city. And now they see all the things. Maybe they'd never seen things like they had seen in Babylon. And even if they were made a slave, they were brought to a place where there's great excitement and so many different gods, so many different peoples and languages. Are you listening? So many different unusual things that caught their eye and caught their heart. But it didn't catch Daniel's heart. It didn't catch the three Hebrew children's heart. Daniel, he was a man, the Bible said in chapter 1, verse 4, he was skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science. And he was of such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. Now, so he stood along with a lot of others that were like him. But there was only one Daniel. Are you listening? I mean, even though a lot of the others, they could be trained and they had some understanding, they were not like Daniel. There's only one Daniel. And listen, you are what God, you'll let God make you. Are you listening? And you just say, I'm going to be what God wants me to be. You let God make you who you are, you'll stand out from the others. God wants people that'll stand out. Do you know that? He saved us to make us a peculiar people. He wants us to stand out. He calls us a gazing stock. He wants God's people to stand out from among the crowd. He said, you know, by the love you have for one another, the world will know that you're my disciples. The world will know you're different just by looking at your character. And so that's the kind of person that Daniel was. I mean, you think about all of the conflicts in his lifetime that he went through. This is a man from a time he was young. He faced pagan self-indulgence. And that's what chapter 1 was. They wanted him to eat like a pagan. They wanted him to fill up and fatten up on the king's meat. Are you listening? Daniel didn't want to be found with a piece of swine hanging out of his mouth. He still had God in his heart. Amen. He purposed in his heart in verse number 8 that he would not defile himself. That was some self-denial. I mean, he could have denied himself, but you know what he did? He denied that pagan indulgence. He denied the flesh. He denied his own flesh, amen. And he restrained himself. Restrained himself. Listen, that's part of what the Christian life is: bringing your body under subjection. That's some self restraint, amen. Some self restraint go a long way in the Christian life. Do you know that? Now I know a person could do a lot of those things and still not be saved. But listen, if you're saved, God help us to know what a little bit of self-restraint is. Amen. And there he is. He's a man of purpose. A man of purpose. He purposed in his heart. Listen, Daniel didn't just say this so that he could say, you know, I'm going to just make it to where I don't eat like this. Daniel had a bigger purpose than that.
Oh, yeah.
In the Christian life, listen, when you take these little bitty steps toward God and these denials of self and the denials of the world, are you listening to me? Those things right there, there's a greater purpose beyond that.
Right.
A greater purpose beyond that. Amen. I mean, God's got something for you in the Christian life and in the Christian walk. The Lord said, if you'll be faithful over a few things, I'll make you master over many things. And there's purpose in it. Amen. It's not just saying, this is who I am. I'm going to eat like a Christian. I'm going to eat like a believer. Amen. No, there's a greater purpose in that. Daniel purposed in his heart. He was purposing in his heart that at every step of the way, he was going to deny himself and deny Nebuchadnezzar and deny Babylon. Are you listening? That's what I think Daniel was purposing in his heart. And so he had there in this first one. And so you know what the victory was? His abstinence won over. Amen. God gave him victory in his abstinence. They ate those beans and water. Amen. That little Hebrew diet, and they came out looking better than that crowd that had turned. Amen. They come out more blessed than that crowd that ate the portion of the king's meat and drank the king's wine. And they're not only looking better, he's feeling better, no doubt, on the inside. Amen. He's still got fellowship with his God. Amen. He's got purpose in his life. There's the victory. Amen. I mean, when everybody else is got the hangover of sin, realizing what they've done wrong and feeling bad about themselves. Hey, you can stand up and say, by the grace of God, I got victory in Christ. Amen. I got some victory in the Lord. Daniel was a man of purpose, a young man of purpose. Not just a man of purpose, a young man of purpose. But that was the first conflict. The second conflict, he faced pagan magic. I mean, all the magicians and the astrologers. I mean, that's the sorcerers and the witches and everyone. I mean, listen, they were going to come and try to do the deed before the king. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and none of them could tell him what that dream was. But heavenly wisdom knew exactly what that dream was. And you know what won over? It wasn't the pagan magic. Amen? It was wisdom from above. Wisdom from above. You'll find that, amen. You'll find that in chapter 2 all the way through. I mean, it finally took Daniel to give the interpretation. Daniel, in verse 46 of chapter 2, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel, commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. Listen. Daniel's having to live among pagan people. Yes. Daniel served his God, and he wasn't expecting all them to serve his God. Listen, if they wanted to serve his God, they'd have to do it on the same way Daniel did, on God's terms. Yeah. But you know what they did? They didn't understand how to thank him. They didn't know his God or him. And so they did the only thing they knew to do. And that's what this king's doing. The king answered in verse 47 unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. The king made Daniel a great man. No, he didn't. God made Daniel a great man. Amen. Amen. He may have made him a great man in the kingdom, but Daniel was already a great man in the eyes of God. Amen. He had godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. Daniel didn't go to the pagans. Daniel didn't go to their ways. Daniel didn't look to the stars. Daniel looked beyond the stars into the third heaven. Amen. Daniel was a man of purpose. The third conflict, they had heathen idolatry. You remember? They made that big image and told everybody to worship it and bow down. And the three Hebrew children didn't do it. I know Daniel didn't do it. But they came after his friends, the three Hebrew children. And they said, we're not going to bow, even if God doesn't deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace. We're not going to bow. Did you see the hardness and the definition of their faith? I mean, the spiritual definition that we're going to serve God. We don't care what everybody else does. We don't care that the rest of them's doing it. Amen. The rest of them can do it, and they can keep doing it, but we're not doing it. You can throw us in the fire, but we're still not going to do it. We're going to worship our God. Amen. We're going to trust our God. He's able to deliver us out of the burning, fiery furnace. But even if he don't, we're still not going to bow down. Amen. Amen. Listen, that's good faith in these last days when the devil starts whispering in your ear. You know, the Lord said, he's told you he's coming. Well, he ain't come yet. Do you really know he's coming? There's a lot of other generations maybe thought he was coming, and he ain't going to come. He ain't going to come in your day neither. As a matter of fact, none of this is real. That's what the devil will say. He'll whisper, and he'll whisper, and he'll whisper, trying to get you to doubt. You know what I just say? Well, if he don't come in my lifetime, I still ain't going to listen to you. Amen? I still ain't going to do what you want me to do. I believe in the Lord. Amen? I know in whom I believe. I know that Jesus is coming. I believe in his word. His promise is true. The devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. Amen. And the father of lies. That's right. I ain't going to spend my time listening to his lies. Bless the Lord. That's what they said. We'll throw you in. It don't matter. We're not going to bow. I mean, there is a definitive faith, amen, in the conflict of that idolatry. I mean, all through the book of Daniel. I mean, even when they had, in chapter 4, the king's pride and was, you know, brought against them. Amen. The king wound up eating grass. Like a ox. Down on his hands and knees. He thought he was bigger than God. Amen. God put him out there with dew on his back. He's out of his mind. Eating grass in the field. They thought, what's happened to our glorious king? God humbled him. God humbled him. Amen. God Almighty's divine sovereignty is over the affairs of men. God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to be king. And he allowed his grandson Belshazzar to be king. God allows men to be kings and presidents. Amen. That's not necessarily saying, that God approves of every little thing they do. But he allows them to be where they are, and God's purpose will be revealed in time. Amen. But man is nothing in the eyes of God. Daniel knew that. All that God had done for Daniel, Daniel humbled himself before God. 3 times a day he prayed before the God of heaven. Got down on his knees and looked toward Jerusalem and prayed to the God of heaven. He feared God more than he feared man. And Daniel didn't think, well, now I'm the number one guy in all of Babylon. God, I've got pretty big britches on. No, he didn't think that way. He humbled himself before his God because he knew God was the one that gave him everything he had, gave him the wisdom, showed him what to do and what to say, gave him the strength from the very beginning, amen, to purpose in his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart in chapter 1. That's how he made it all the way to the end. He had purpose. Amen. He had purpose. Man, that even though, listen, he was number one in the king, he was thrown in the lion's den. Why? Because the men, they thought that they'd come up with some snazzy thing to catch Daniel. They said, if we're going to find anything against him, it'll have to be toward his God. They asked the king, they said, make a petition that nobody in the ask anything of any God save asking you, King, petitioning you. If they ask any God for anything, then we get to throw them in the lion's den. They set a trap because they knew Daniel was a man that 3 times a day he opened his window, bowed and prayed. A man of prayer. Oh, I can't tell you how much prayer makes the difference in our life, in the Christian life, in the believer's life, to have the presence of God walking with you, I mean manifestly, to where you can feel the presence of the Lord, to where you know that God is with you, that He's answering your prayers and He's talking with you. And God is doing things in you and around you. Prayer makes the difference. We can't live week after week and month after month without prayer. I'm not talking about just walking around and thinking about some things every now and then. That's not prayer. I mean, God said, pull away into your closet somewhere. Shut the door and pray. Go to God. That's what Daniel did. It was before his window, looking to Jerusalem, like the old scripture said. And Daniel cried out to his God. They came to get him. Take him to the lion's den. And the king was grieved that he couldn't get Daniel out of that situation because he had signed the petition. He signed it. Up all night. How could any man be thrown in a lion's den, make it out alive? That's the end of Daniel. The next day, the next morning, no doubt in the king's mind it was just a purely double check. Oh, Daniel, live forever. Is thy God, whom thou serve continually, able to deliver thee out of the lion's den? And there's a voice came back from the lion's den. Don't worry about me, King. Daniel was still alive all night with those beasts. I don't know how many of them. There was lions, plural. Several, at least. One is more than enough for a man. But there were several in there. They got Daniel out and they took those men that had set Daniel up threw them in. And the Bible says those lions had the mastery with them. Tore them all to pieces. I tell you, that astounds me. It lets me know. Listen, again, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing. Them three Hebrews went into that fiery furnace, and there's a fourth man walking in there with them. Daniel went into the lion's den, and no doubt there was another one in there with him. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Daniel was a man of God, a man of faith. He was a man of vision. He was able to give the prophecy of the end time, coming of our Lord in the end time. God revealed things to Daniel that won't be revealed to the end of day. Are you listening? What a young man that Daniel was. What purpose, what heart, what faith. What divine following. I mean, Daniel had to have been a man unequaled. Man truly, truly love God. Amen. Was it just because he was a good little Hebrew boy? I don't think so. I think Daniel stood out among the crowd because of all that was in his heart. All that he was willing to do for God. What are you willing to do for God? If you're saved, what are you willing to do for God? Let me ask you this. What's the things you're not doing for God? Maybe you're not willing. God help us. God help us. Daniel told them in the very beginning, he said, prove thy servants. Prove thy servants. He was proven. Proven. Christian life is a life of proving. You know that? It's a life of proving. I want you to stand this morning.